congregation, and I pray that my delivery and everyone here's reception of this, that it will be the blessing that I believe that you would want it to be. Father, thank you for this time. B'shem Yeshua. L'dor v'dor, from generation to generation. This actually was kind of a difficult message for me to put together, and later on you'll find out why. I pray that it is a very good blessing and an encouragement to all of us. This is about passing on a heritage and about evaluating the heritage that we have been handed. I first want to establish the biblical command for passing on a heritage, and then how to know if the heritage that we have been given is good and good enough to pass on to our own children. And then I'm going to take several minutes with a personal story about my own heritage. The first paragraph of the Shema, which we recite here every week, Moses taught us to pass the commands of the Lord on to our children. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 says, "And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." We say that every week. In Psalm 78, Asaph expands that and tells us that it is not just a single generational issue. Psalm 78, 5 through 7 says, "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, in which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Generation after generation after generation. Paul also told his disciple Timothy, a son in the faith, the same thing. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says, "The things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit the same to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And again, generation after generation after generation. So it is clear from scriptures that God wants us to pass on a godly heritage to our children. When Paul instructs the Ephesians on how to conduct themselves, he tells the children to receive that good heritage by obeying their own parents. So we have all been given a heritage from our parents. Is it good or is it bad? I would submit that you can look to your own life and the fruit that it has produced to see. Look at each individual component and the whole package. Do the teachings, the customs, the traditions that you grew up with help or hinder your walk with the Lord? Do they aid you in hearing his voice? Do they aid you in relying on his strength, in obeying his commands? Or do they take you in another direction? Do they tend to make you harsh or judgmental, or helping and supportive? On the other hand, do they tend to make you ignore God's words and ways, or do you uphold his standards of thought and conduct? In either case, we can err to the right or to the left, being too harsh or legalistic, or too lenient and drifting off into sin. I would submit that tending either direction is not a healthy heritage to pass on. So, what is a person to do that has been handed an unhealthy or unbiblical heritage? We have to take that to the Lord to deal with it. If we need healing, we should seek it out. If we need deliverance, we should seek that out. Fortunately, God has provided godly leaders and counselors in the body of Messiah to aid us in strengthening, in straightening that out. And we have a very good set of counselors and pastors in this congregation to do that very thing. We do not have to pass on a bad mess. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember your leaders, men who spoke the word of God, consider the results of their conduct and imitate their faith." It means we also get an inheritance from our spiritual leaders. And as we look to the lives of those who lead us, whether parents, grandparents, spiritual leaders, we can take the good for ourselves and reject the bad inheritance. Last week, Mike spoke of discipleship, raising up children properly and passing on this good heritage is a part of that discipleship. As he said, discipleship is more than just book or classroom learning. It is life formation. He gave an indication on how well we are discipled. And if you don't remember his little scale, I suggest you get the recording of his message and listen to it again. It was very good. To the degree that we have been discipled, we can pass on a good and godly heritage. We can instruct better than we live, but our children will take the actions and attitudes as the real message. And now for a few minutes about the heritage that I was handed. Considering what to say, I had to evaluate what I received from my own dad and what I chose to pass on to my children based on that. Let me tell you something of his life, both the good and the bad. This may be a bit hard to listen to in a couple places, but life is seldom nice and neat. We live in a fallen world, and we have to deal with many things from the fallen side. And sometimes that gets ugly. Much of my own faith came from my mother. She raised me as a single parent from age 6 to 11, at which time she remarried. Her new husband was a good believer, but took a back seat in raising my sister and I. He was actually more influential on his grandchildren, our children. It was my mom who taught me Bible stories, taught me to pray, insisted on regularly praying for the Jews, whom she called God's special people. I'm sure that's a big part of how I ended up in the Messianic community. My dad, William Wagoner, was an assistant pastor in the Wesleyan denomination and was going for full ordination when his first marriage failed. After which he married my mom, and that lasted only a few years. He became violent with both my mother and I. I was in college when I realized I had to forgive him for that. I did. And slowly, we started to rebuild a relationship. I never did get as close as I would have liked, but it was fairly amicable. Dad remarried, started a third family. When I called to tell him he was going to be a grandfather, announcing our first child, he told me he was just about to call me, saying I was going to be a brother. His wife was pregnant, too. It's almost like one of those things out of Father of the Bride movies. Dad was married and divorced four times. He had three different sets of children. There were seven of us in all, three girls, four boys. I am number 4 of 7. That's my Borg designation. My sister Linda is number 5, and Lois, number 1. They both died about 5 years ago. I never met Lois. After the divorce from my mom, Dad moved from Michigan, where he had lived his whole life, to Indianapolis. He worked at various heating companies and taught sheet metal work in trade school. He even taught construction trades at Indiana University. As a note on his sheet metal duct work, when I went to college, my freshman roommate had worked in the Detroit area during high school summers as a tax assessor, physically inspecting homes for the tax rolls. Within 5 minutes of being in our basement, he asked who had done the ductwork, as it was the best he had ever seen. I knew Dad was good at what he did. I had no idea he was that good. Dad loved sports, especially baseball. He was a huge Detroit Tigers fan. I found out only recently that his dad, my grandpa Wagoner, who died when I was very little, had played in the minor leagues. I remember when our family was together, Dad always coached a Pony League team, which in Michigan was the ages between Little League and high school, and he played on local softball teams. And Dad loved music. Hello? But not just any music. His first love was Southern gospel. Classical hymns were second, country a close third. He hated anything resembling rock, bluegrass, blues, or black gospel. There was a place about 20 miles from where we lived that hosted all-night gospel music concerts several times a year, and all the big-name Southern gospel groups would come to sing. He continued to buy my mom and I season passes to these concerts. I became a fan of Southern gospel as well. When I was 15, Dad decided to sponsor my way to a musical training school in Texas, run by James Blackwood of the Blackwood Brothers Quartet and J.D. Sumner of the Stamps Quartet. They were Elvis Presley's backup singers. It was at this school that I first started learning music theory. We learned chord progressions, composing melodies, how to harmonize it for four-part vocals, and what pitfalls to avoid. 2 years later, he sent me back and I took the second level theory class. I was told by the instructor after the second class I had the equivalent of about a year and a half of college level music theory. I took voice lessons, and the second time I was there, I was able to get into Ken Turner's class. He was the bass singer for the Blackwood Brothers. I'm sure Dad would have loved for me to become a professional Southern gospel singer, and that may have been his motive for sending me there. As I said before, Dad had attended seminary. As his denomination was very strict, he had ideas that many of us would probably chafe at, but he was always able to back them up with the Bible. Even as a child, I was impressed by how much of the Bible he had memorized and how he could support his positions scripturally. The next person that I saw that did this as well as Dad was Derek Prince. Dad was opinionated. He was stubborn in his doctrinal views. He was against Reformed theology of eternal security and predestination. He was more against Pentecostalism. And he considered Catholicism to be the ultimate of false religions. He never learned enough about Messianic Judaism to form an opinion. I'm sure early in his life he would not have liked it at all. Later on, maybe not so much. Dad's second wife was his third wife was a lifelong Church of Christ member, as are my two youngest brothers. It's another church he refused to have anything to do with, as he considered the stance on forbidding musical instruments to be unbiblical and hypocritical, because they would listen to and play instruments outside of the church service. During and after their marriage, she and the boys would go to the Church of Christ. Dad occasionally attended a Church of the Nazarene, which was doctrinally close to his roots. But because of being kicked out so summarily by the Wesleyans, he was not an active part of that congregation or any congregation for much of his life. He did not even tell his last name to the Nazarene congregation, and he attended for several years. They only knew him as Bill. My father passed away January 16th, just a little over a month ago. His funeral was the first time all five of us surviving children were together. My youngest half-brother, Terry, the one who was the same age as my oldest, Mary Beth, asked me to say a few words at the memorial service. I was not sure if I wanted to do that or not. But after hearing Andy and Terry, those are my two younger half-brothers, tell about their life growing up and how his last few years had been, I saw a glaring hole in their story that I had to speak into. I spoke of the music lessons he provided. I spoke of his ability to quote scripture and make sense out of it. I spoke of how that passed down and worked itself out in his children and grandchildren. What kind of heritage did I get from all of that? And how did I process it and pass it on to my own kids? Well, the first thing I did after witnessing the breakup of my mom and dad was to vow never to get married. Probably not a good choice. I didn't date in high school. I can probably count on one hand the entire dates that I went on in college. It actually took an audible voice from God to tell me that I was going to get married. Except for me to accept that. The lessons in music I found valuable immediately. I started taking classical organ lessons, and I taught myself how to play guitar. What I learned about chord structure, progressions, harmonies, started me writing my own music. I adapted it over to rock and soul and country. Getting voice lessons from a world-class bass singer started me focusing on the bottom line, musically speaking. Do I need to take a step one way or the other? So playing bass was natural for that. I started writing worship music in college. It came easily with the training that Dad had provided. I started leading the singing in home group settings and did a few vocal arrangements for the church choir. The minister of music was impressed and asked me where I had learned that. He had a master's degree in theory. I've been able to serve all of the congregations I have attended musically since then, thanks to Dad's gift. My dad's use of scripture, and perhaps misuse in some cases, made me dig into the word for myself. I was able to see some interpretations and doctrines that did not hold water, even long-standing, very common ones. When I went to college and joined a congregation that Derek Prince visited, I learned even more about how to interpret scriptures. The path that Dad set me on, perhaps even unintentionally, had a much-needed course correction via Dr. Prince. After I moved back to my hometown after college with my family, I was asked to be an elder in a congregation that my mom and stepdad had helped establish. It was pastored by a high school acquaintance of mine, and when he got sick, I had to step in and give the sermons for several months while he recuperated, in addition to leading the worship there. My older brother Wayne, who actually has visited here a couple of times, is a member of the worship team on the Methodist church he attends in Baltimore. My youngest half-brother Terry is the minister of music at the now instrumental church, Franklin Church of Christ, just south of Indianapolis. And this is a part of the legacy that my dad left to us all. Lador Vador, from generation to generation. What Dad had set out to do as a young man got fulfilled in his children. And of course, my own children have picked this up as well. Laura and Caleb have both served as part of the worship team here. My daughter Sarah, for several years, was in the choir at her church up in Gaithersburg. My brother Wayne's children have been in their respective church worship teams as well. And what I hope that my own sons and daughters will say when the time comes is that I passed on to them a heritage of worship, music, and a love for the truth of God's word. I also hope that my many mistakes and shortcomings will be seen for what they are and not taken as an ongoing heritage. There was much of what Dad was and did that I had to filter out, but I was not always successful. As I look to the growth now of my grandchildren, and many here look to raising their own children, we must ask ourselves, what kind of heritage do we want to leave to these young ones who are so precious to the Lord? Are we demonstrating in our own lives godliness? Not just a sterile, strict adherence to a code of morality or a doctrine or a tradition, but a genuine love for God and His ways. The first paragraph of the Shema in Deuteronomy 6 tells us to love the Lord with our heart, our soul, and our strength, and to teach our children when we do everyday things, like sitting in the house, going to bed, getting up, walking somewhere. Loving the Lord is first. Yeshua said it was the greatest commandment. In summary, we all have many things to pass on to those around us, especially our children. We should try to pass on as many of the good things and godly things as we can, and try to not pass on the bad things. With God's help, we can do that. After all, it is He who told us to pass on what we have and who we are to those who come after us. On the other side of that, we have a choice to take or reject what has been handed to us. We must choose wisely and biblically. Of course, our children may be too young to make that informed choice, which puts a greater responsibility on us as parents and grandparents to exhibit godliness. And you never know. God may just use what you give your children to bless His children far and wide. That certainly happened with my father. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the heritage of my dad and the music and the love of the Word of God that he passed on to me. And I thank You that You have used it to bless others as well. And I pray that You would take Your Spirit that is in each one of us as we pass on to our children and our children's children and even those around us, that You would bring Yourself forth and bless many through that. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.